You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
Mr. Speaker!
Mr. Speaker, can I have
this is State News and Views with State Senator Charlita Tavares. State news and views that our people can use inside the legislature. Going from Main Street to the State House, you will hear it first right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and I am in the studio here today on State News and Views, here with our leader in the Ohio Senate, Senator Eric Kearney, who is the state senator from the great city of Cincinnati. And Senator Kearney has been our leader in the Ohio Senate Democrat Caucus for a few months now. Two months. Wow, time flies, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Thank you so much for having me on the show today, Senator Tavares. I know that this is a great opportunity to talk with people and share our views, and I love this program and the format of it. So thank you very much for including me.
Well, to my colleagues with TalkTainmentRadio.com, you heard that. Our senator from Cincinnati loves this radio station, radio station here in Columbus that broadcasts throughout the world.
Right.
And that's the advantage of having radio the way it should be heard, all over the world, and so that people can understand what's going on and from various perspectives. So we appreciate that you're here with us today, and we're probably going to be joined by our colleague Senator Nina Turner.
Oh, good.
She said that she would be calling in the show, and then we may have Senator Skindle call in. But I wanted to bring you up first, Senator Kearney, to talk to us a little bit about what happened today. And I do know that Senator Nina Turner, out of the great city of Cleveland, Ohio, the three C's are represented today. she is on the phone, so I am anxious to get her involved, but I wanted you, Senator Kearney, to start off.
Well, I'll set the table, if you would. And again, I just think the show that you do is wonderful, and it's a great opportunity for people to hear a different perspective and to get their news right from the source. Today on the floor, we had a couple of different bills. One dealt with capital reappropriations, which was rather uncontroversial. But the big news today was Senate Bill 295. And that bill was a repeal of House Bill 195, which is taking off the ballot the people's challenge to some of these draconian and confusing election laws. And our caucus, as you know, gave a spirited debate. You were very powerful and very forceful when you spoke, Senator Tavares, and I want to thank you for sharing your ideas and your intellect with all of us. And then Senator Michael Skindle from Cleveland was also very articulate and very passionate.
And he's on the phone as well.
Oh,
Senator
okay.
Skindle out of the great city of Lakewood, Ohio,
which
is up in the Cleveland community.
Right. So the Cleveland combo was very, very good. And then the third senator from Cleveland, Senator Shirley Smith, did an excellent job by not only doing a motion to table, but also providing an amendment to return those that weekend just before Election Day and that Monday to allow people to come in and vote. Now, all of our efforts, and despite our good ideas and great debate, were basically ignored by the Republican majority, and that's really the problem that we find ourselves in the Senate.
You are absolutely right. I want to have Senator Turner and Senator Skindle to chime in specifically on House Bill 194, Senate Bill 224.
It's 295 today.
Yes.
Senate Bill 295, and then there was some reference to a 224, but that
Correct.
Was bygone days.
Exactly. Senator Skindle, Senator Turner, whoever wants to start first.
This is Senator Turner, and Senator Tavares, I do appreciate you having me also on the program, not only from Senator Kearney's end of the state in Cincinnati, they love you, but we love you up in Cleveland.
Thank you very much. Why don't you share with us your thoughts about what happened on the floor today? I mean, this is breaking news to our listening audience of what it means and what happened today.
Okay. So one of the biggest arguments made by the Republicans is that their repeal legislation, Senate Bill 295, would place us in the same spot that we were. It's a straight repeal, and it would place us in the same spot that we were upon the passage of 195. That statement is utterly false and inaccurate. And let me tell you what has happened. In this General Assembly, when the Republicans embarked upon voter disfranchisement, voter suppression, they started to pass a number of bills. The first bill was 194. And in that bill, they had a number of voter suppression measures. That is the bill that there's a referendum on. Now,
that the people of Ohio.
Right. 300,000 people signed petitions to put that on the ballot, so they would have to repeal that legislation. That bill was signed by the governor on July 1st. On July 20th, House Bill 224 was signed by the governor. It was also an elections bill. And in that particular bill, they built upon what was done in 194, and they amended the same statutory provisions that was in 194. And one of the key areas of this is this provision about voting the weekend before the election. In 2008, they estimate up to 100,000 people at the Board of Elections the weekend before the election. It relieves the stresses at the polls when you have that. So you don't have this 100,000 additional people showing up at the polls, and you don't have the long lines that way. But the Republicans don't want that, and they claim that this issue was brought up by the election officials, that it's too burdensome for the election officials to have voting at the Board of Elections the weekend before. It is a false argument. And anyways, we shouldn't be making our election system satisfactory to the election officials. We should make it accommodating for the voters.
Because they're there, Senator Skindle, on behalf of the people. They're there. The election officials are there to serve the people.
That's right.
Right. Absolutely. So the first bill, 194, was signed by the governor on July 1st of 2011. The second bill was signed by the governor on July 11th of 2011. That second bill, 224, which has that elimination of voting the weekend before the election, is a critical part because so many people utilize it. Now, when they say that they are repealing 194, it is not the same repeal that we would get if the voter or the people of Ohio repeal it. The referendum, what happens with the referendum is these election laws are built, it's a house of cards. So if 194 by the referendum is repealed, it's repealed outright, and everything built upon it has a good argument of being thrown out as being invalid. So that means that those provisions
that were added after 194 was passed,
and in other words, built upon 194,
correct,
in the same section. We're talking about the same section, the weekend voting, the same section that was amended by 194. Everything would fall. This legislation that the Republicans passed today, which they call a straight repeal, doesn't have the same result if the repeal of 194 occurred by the vote of the people. The reason why is in this legislation, they say that that second legislation, House Bill 224, which was signed 10 days later by the governor on July 11th, all those provisions stay in place. It's actually written in this legislation that the Republicans wrote today.
Senator Skindle, before you go further, because I want people to understand that you gave a passionate plea on the floor of the Senate today. So did Senator Kearney, and we'll speak in a little bit to Senator Turner. She did as well. But I want our listening audience to understand that they can see these arguments. They can hear your testimony firsthand by using the internet and going to OhioChannel.org and clicking on March 28th, Ohio Senate session, and you will see the speeches that each of these senators gave, as well as the arguments that the other side, the Republicans, gave to support this bill that was passed today. So I just want our listening audience to understand that they can see us in action, and they can hear what we've said or not said on legislation that impacts them, and this one impacts the voter directly. So continue.
Yes, so the pieces of legislation are, you know, they're built one upon the other. So if 194 falls, the subsequent legislation that that deals with the same section dealt with by 194 would also potentially fall. And we're not only talking about one election law, but the budget bill also amended these various provisions that was dealt with in 194. And there was another subsequent bill that actually went after the same provision. But the key provision, again, is that weekend voting, the weekend right before the election, because there's estimates, again, that 100,000 people may utilize that.
Well, I want to bring in Senator Turner on that notion, because you gave a passionate speech about it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, and I want you to share your comments about what this means to the voter.
Thank you, Senator, and to both of my colleagues, both our leader and Senator Skindle, who did a fantastic job, and I was really honest in saying that I had no intention, because we were in certainly good hands. But to Senator Skindle's last point about the numbers of people who use the weekend right before Election Day, and as we know, in urban areas, particularly the black church, which has historically had a great influence on the black vote, a lot of our black churches utilize the Sundays, and particularly the Sunday before Election Day, to take their congregation, to have vans and buses, and take them as a congregation to vote. So the Republicans know exactly what they are doing. They are trying to disenfranchise a certain group, and most of that group in the urban areas are black and brown, and they are poor whites, and they don't want to hear our voices, and most of them are Democrats, as Senator Kearney eloquently put out there.
You are absolutely right. Well, the other piece, Senator Kearney, that I wanted you to touch upon is this whole notion of what they're doing being unconstitutional.
Well, I think that what they're trying to do is unconstitutional, and Senator Skindle hit upon this point, and a number of other people on our caucus talked about this. But it basically comes down to this. There are two provisions. One provision, Article 2, Section 1G of the Ohio Constitution, says that the legislature can do things that help a referendum, but we are not allowed to do anything that would hinder or interrupt or stop a referendum. Second point is that we do not have any authority in Ohio statute where the legislature can stop a referendum or pull something off the ballot. that is left up to the petitioners or those who put forward the referendum. And so those are essentially our constitutional arguments. And I know Senator Skindal has made a couple of other constitutional arguments too, which you know you may want to share those as well, Michael.
Senator Skindal?
Senator Kearney, I think for the most part summarized. The biggest question I have in this whole process is because of the referendum, the original election bill 194 never became effective. So it was not existent. It's not law. How can you repeal legislatively? It would not become law until the people, if they would defeat the referendum at the voting place. That's the only time. The very next day at midnight, it would become law. How can the legislature, on something that's not law, amend it and repeal it when it's in this process of this referendum?
That seems bizarre to me. I mean, if it's not law because the law was stayed, I mean, it didn't go into effect because the petitions were certified with enough signatures to move the referendum forth. So how can you repeal something that doesn't exist?
Oh, that's a very good point. And then the other thing that just absolutely burns me up is that they're substituting their opinion for that of the voters, of the people who petition the government. And so today, what people should be really upset about is your right to petition the government was just canceled in the state of Ohio. And they can try and modify it any way they want to. That's what they did. We need to have a moment of silence for referendum in Ohio,
because they killed it today.
Amen. I mean, it's just it should be intolerable for the citizens of this state that Republicans would certainly, they made a mockery of the Constitution today.
But yet they used the Constitution. How many times have we not heard from our colleagues, you know, that we need to be constitutionalists and we need to stay within the bounds of the Constitution, and the Constitution provides the parameters of what is...
Only when it fits what they want to do.
Exactly. And that's the point, because this is about the people. This is taking away the checks and balances that our Constitution has built into it, that the people are ultimately the deciders.
Exactly. And that right, that constitutional right, that fundamental constitutional right has been killed today. My only hope is that Speaker Batchelder and his comments from January 26th and from February 9th of this year will be consistent and hold that it's unconstitutional and not approve Senate Bill 295.
Mm-hmm. And that was brilliant, by the way, Senator, to bring that up. It was just masterful.
And then our colleague, he had to try and come back and get on words that were penned either by members of our caucus or were stated in press conferences, but he still missed the point. And I think our colleague, Senator Cafaro, corrected him on the intent of our resolution. This today, I'm glad that we had some witnesses in the gallery, some witnesses who have fought hard for the people. Enfranchisement, the people's right to vote, and they were sitting there witnessing what was taking place today. So I think it's going to fuel those efforts to ensure that this referendum stays on the ballot and that the people vote and vote en masse.
Well, my hope is that they will, and I hope people will take advantage of the words that Senator Tavares said earlier, and that is go to the Ohio Channel and watch for yourself.
And before we take anything more, we're going to talk about that and more coming up next.
President Pro Tem, I'd love to speak. Mr. Speaker, Governor, I'd love to ask you a question.
I disagree with the governor on this issue.
I agree with the governor.
Your dream, great on test and living healthy. Making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for the presence of radon. It's easy. To learn more, call 866-730-GREEN. Preserve your family's health and well-being. Get your home tested. Now that's living healthy and green. For radon is easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
A message from the US EPA.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and I am here in studio with our leader in the Ohio Senate, Senator Eric Kearney out of Cincinnati. And on the phone, I have two of my favorite senators out of the great state of Cuyahoga County, and they represent Cleveland with Senator Nina Turner and Lakewood with Senator Michael Skindal. And we were talking about the voter suppression bill that was on the floor of the Senate this afternoon, and our challenge to the people of Ohio to get involved in this election and fight with us on the referendum so that the people's voice can be heard and that elections will go in the favor of the people of the state of Ohio. And unless somebody has some additional comments that they wanted to share about the legislation and next steps, we can move on to the capital appropriations bill. Anyone want to add anything before we move on? If not, Senator Skindal, you serve on the Finance Committee with me, and I want both Senator Turner and Senator Kearney to chime in after you kind of lay the groundwork on Senate Bill 312, which was the capital reappropriations and the issue around higher education that you articulated about in committee, and then Senator Sawyer talked about today on the floor, as well as the issues around Clean Ohio, the Clean Ohio Fund, and the lack of community projects in that budget.
Yes, so we have for a number of decades in the General Assembly have adopted a capital bill. The primary start of the capital bill was to attend to the state, primarily the state capital meet. So over at Ohio State University or up at Cleveland State or Bowling Green, the state universities have capital needs. So they have repairs of their infrastructure, a building of new buildings, and we always provide for a capital bill. And that's also to include buildings for our prisons or a psychiatric hospital. Our capital bill always deals with that. A number of decades ago, there was a push to add what's called a community project component to that capital bill, because what they saw is when you use dollars to invest in community projects supported by a local city that deals with economic development. It creates jobs, and helps provide a foundation for resources. If you can get some state money to fund a particular public interest project, you then can also attract other investors. And it has been extremely successful, and that community component of the capital bill has been extremely successful, and it has created jobs and has done a lot of economic development in all of our communities, from Columbus to Cleveland, Cincinnati, Youngstown, Toledo, to the most rural communities throughout the state. The Republican caucus for the last 3 years have stopped the capital budget, the community programs component of the capital budget. And what it is doing is it's causing a lot of good projects from not going forward. And I'm talking about these are projects that are primarily have some public interest. So if there's something in if Columbus has a park, and
I'll give an example. We put capital dollars into our Lincoln Theater, which is a historic African-American theater on the east side of Columbus, and we got capital funds. State Senator Ray Miller had gotten those capital funds in the capital bill to be a partner. So the state of Ohio was a partner with the city of Columbus, the county of Franklin, in pulling together resources to rehab that old structure. And, you know, it's a partnership, and government should help to leverage dollars. It also brought in private sector dollars.
Absolutely. And that was the large component of it. And during this entire recession, we have not pumped in the money to these community projects, which means that we have not promoted jobs, because these are the dollars that actually create jobs. They create a lot of construction jobs, and then they create a lot of jobs at those projects that continue long beyond the construction aspect of it. And we've just done away with it in a time of our state that we have been in deep recession, and we can use a bump of investment like this to create jobs.
And one other thing I just wanted to add to buttress Senator Skindle's point is that oftentimes those are the projects where people can see and touch where their tax dollars go, and that's why they're so important to a lot of local communities.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Senator Turner, did you want to add anything on the community projects? She may have had to leave. I know she said she was going to be on the call on the first part of the show. Why don't we talk about the Clean Ohio Fund, because that's another economic development tool.
Right. And I'll talk about this, but we should come at some point and talk about the dollars used at our universities and the change in the formula and how those dollars are being distributed.
Oh, absolutely. We should do both
briefly
of those. Mm-hmm.
But Clean Ohio is a program that was strongly supported by the voters of the state of Ohio in a number of elections. Basically, the voters have authorized the state to issue bonds and have those dollars go to a number of preservation projects, farmland preservation, clearing up brownfields. And in our communities, so the city of Columbus, the city of Lakewood, the city of Cleveland, would utilize those dollars to help clean up a piece of property. So maybe there was a building there with asbestosis. They would help get those dollars, clean up that property, and then that property would be ripe for development. Now, the voters voted for this a couple years ago, reauthorized it, wanted the additional bonds, and the Republicans have just refused to comply with what the voters wanted. With regard to these bonds.
And it was more than 70% of the voters approved that.
They love Clean Ohio. They love Clean Ohio.
Right.
Democrats, yeah. Republicans, independents, and other parties.
Right. So it helps with nature preserves. It helps with parks. It helps with cleanup of our inner cities with these abandoned properties. It helps with the bike trails. In many communities, those bike trails were created with the help of Clean Ohio dollars.
Senator.
And all these projects are, they're not going anywhere because, again, the legislature refuses to issue the bonds. And so these dollars can flow out there to the community.
And, Senator Kearney, I'm sure your community has a number of projects that are now in limbo because we don't have that partnership.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Clean Ohio funds, as Senator Skindle has already explained, are so vital to turn around communities. So older cities like a Cincinnati, where you've got a number of properties that are abandoned or are contaminated for whatever reason, they need to be restored so that the city can grow again. And so that's why they're so important. And then the other thing that I think is really something that we should emphasize is that the voters have already authorized the legislature to spend this money to issue these bonds. So all we have to do is identify those projects locally, which there's a process set up for that, and then expend the money or authorize the expenditure. And not to do it in this environment, as Senator Skindle has noted, is terrible because interest rates are low. We're looking for something to spur the economy. Ohio could easily do this. It's good for our urban areas. It's good for our rural areas. It's just a very positive program, and why you wouldn't take advantage of that.
And we had more than 20 witnesses that came today. More would have come if, you know, we had had more hearings. But again, this is another issue around process. We had a sponsor testimony yesterday, and then proponent, and if there was any opponent testimony on today, and the vote on today. And then the vote was, the bill was sent directly to the Senate floor. So there was no more opportunity for input from folks so that you could hear the magnitude of how important this Clean Ohio Fund is for both green and brown projects.
Right, exactly. And it's so important to Ohio. I really wish people would write to us and tell us that they want these projects so we can take those letters into our Republican colleagues and say, see, we told you so.
Correct. We told you so, and the voters have already voted and given us authorization. I mean, this is, you know, if we put both of these bills together, it's like ignoring the will of the people twice today.
Right.
Twice.
Right.
You know, the referendum process and this, the people's vote at the ballot, authorizing us to spend this money so that we can invest it in their communities.
Right. Right.
So that seems to be a pattern here, folks.
It's a theme.
It is. It very much is. Well, let's talk about the higher education and this process of removing the chancellor from the Board of Regents and the Board of Regents in total from deciding on how money is spent with higher education.
Right. So as I mentioned a little earlier, is that one of the primary purposes of the capital budget is to do those capital improvements at our state properties. That includes our state universities. So historically, our Board of Regents that oversees our state universities and the chancellor, there was a formula placed in law as to how those capital dollars would be distributed to the universities in a fair system. And then the chancellor and the Board of Regents would have the final review of that, as all those dollars would go out to the state university. What they have done, what Governor Kasich has done, is he has did away with the transparent process of distributing these dollars to our public universities. And understand, our public universities are always competing. We always have a limited fund of dollars, so they're always competing for these dollars, and we try to develop a fair way of distributing them. And instead of that system, they have given the power to the president of Ohio State, Gordon Gee, to head up a little committee. They set the procedures and the priorities for the use of these capital dollars, and they are the ones outside of real public scrutiny then decide which universities get what dollars for what projects.
And as you articulated on the floor today, Senator Skindle, it might have been in the committee, what you basically said is, you know, what this process worked this time around. The university president seemed to be okay with the distribution of the dollars in this bill. However, it's not, you know, in our Ohio Revised Code, the process and the procedures, and it's based more so on personality. Maybe that was our colleague, Senator Sawyer. But basically what was said today is that this is based more on personality and the presidents who were a part of and those who were a part of this committee getting along. And certainly we all know that President Gee has great political skills. And so, you know, if he were to leave Ohio State, there would be someone else. And if these other folks aren't in the position, you're dealing with different dynamics. It's not going to be the same process. It is more about respect and personality and skills more so than it is about a process that we're not really sure whether it's going to be in concrete.
Yeah, and Senator Skindle, could you expound upon the transparency issue that you referenced a little bit in your comments?
Yeah, so the prior system was a system in which there was a legislative formula. There was a formula in law. The request would be brought forward to the Board of Regents, the Chancellor. The Board of Regents meets in public notice meeting to make these decisions. And that did not exist in this process of the small committee of folks set up by Gordon Gee. Those regular public meetings that the Board of Regents have, notice public meetings, that did not exist in this committee of folks that are talking to the presidents individually. So basically what they did is they got the stuff in. They had private meetings with the university presidents, and they decided which dollars would go out. And there was no public forum to vet all this.
And again, you know, by there not being a public forum, how do we know there aren't some presidents of universities or colleges around the state that may disagree, may not have all the information, quite frankly, and know that they're not going to get any dollars. If they're not in the bill, they're not getting any dollars.
Yeah.
Well, and this is the concern that I have, is there is no evidence of this in this process, but I have seen situations in which things are being distributed like this, and there's arm twisting from the executive branch saying, if you speak out against this, it's not in your best interest.
And then
I don't have evidence that it existed in this particular process, but I have seen it in other public process settings, and that's why you need the transparent, open public process.
And also you need things that are in the law so that it's open and transparent and people can see it and you're not worried about personalities influencing the way money is spent.
And we're going to talk more about that coming up next.
President Pro Tem, I'd love to speak. Mr. Speaker, Governor, I'd love to ask you a question.
This is Salif Diarra, a local health worker in a remote village in Mali, West Africa. This is Mori, a child who survived malaria because of Salif's efforts. This is Bintu, a grateful mother, one of many.